If you like love stories and are thinking about your summer reading list, you may want to pick up a copy of Ally and Nino. It's a sort of Romeo and Juliet of the Caucasus, and a lost classic. The book first appeared in Vienna in 1937 and is now being republished by Overlook Press. The history of the book is a story in and of itself, but at its heart, Ally and Nino is a simple love story between a Muslim boy and a Christian girl living in Baku, an oil-rich city on the Caspian Sea. Peter Mayer is the publisher of Overlook Press, and it was his detective work that got this book back into print. Thanks for joining us.
Hello, how are you, Michelle?
Just fine. Now, I found this book during my recent travels in the Caucasus. I was wondering how you found Ally and Nino and when you decided to republish it.
Well, I have to say, I read it somewhat by accident. It was lying around an office that I was working in, and I just sort of picked it up. It looked interesting, and I read it, and I somehow never forgot it. But more recently, say 4 years ago, I was thinking again about it, partly because of what has been going on in the Caucasus ever since the end of the Soviet Empire. And I remembered the book because it mirrored, or let me say prefigured, the collapse of the Soviet Empire by being a love story set in the collapse of Imperial Russia around 1917. So the events of today really replicate the love story. And here I was at the Overlook Press, a small company, and I was thinking, I'm always thinking of good books to publish, whether new books or older books. And I said, I'll republish that book.
And of course, as you said, this story takes place in Baku, which is now the capital of the former Soviet Republic of Azerbaijan. At this very tumultuous time, you had the Russian Revolution underway, World War I, Western powers fighting. And this was a region asking itself, are we part of the East? Are we part of the West? It was truly this crossroads. Now, how do Ally and Nino fit into this time and place?
Well, what happens generally when there is a great tumultuous period is that ethnic rivalries begin, and that happens not only in the Caucasus, but it happens in other parts of the world. And Ally is a Muslim boy from Azerbaijan, and Nino, despite the O at the end of the name, Nino is a Georgian girl Christian, and they grow up together in Azerbaijan, and they fall in love. It is, as you described yourself, a Romeo and Juliet kind of story. These are two lovers from different backgrounds.
Tell us a little bit more about Ally. I mean, we say that he's a Muslim boy, but how does he fit into Baku on the eve of this revolution? What kind of choices are facing him?
Well, I think because it is a question not only of a choice of Islam or Christianity, perhaps, something else is a sub-theme, and that is traditional Islam and the modern world. And Christianity, somehow, in the hands of Qurban Said, about whom we perhaps ought to talk a little bit more later, the author of this book, Qurban Said really thinks of Nino not only as a Christian, but also representing the choice for Ally of traditionalism or the modern world of Europe. And you were saying East and West, West certainly being the modern choice and East being the choice for tradition.
And Nino, of course, Ali's love is a Georgian woman, wealthy from nobility, and she enjoys going to the Baku Opera House. We hear about that a lot in the book, and mingling with Western ambassadors. She seems to be this the representation of Europe and the modern world, as you said. Now, there's a passage on page 57 that talks about how the traditional Muslim boy could fall in love with this girl. Do you mind reading a bit of that to us?
Yes, of course, love can cross frontiers, and it does in this novel. It goes this way. I was lying on the divan on the terrace, dreaming of love. My love was so very different from that of my father, my uncles and my grandfathers, so different from the way it should have been. Instead of meeting Nino at the well, when she was filling her pitcher, I met her on Nikolai Street, on her way to school. It was at the well the Orientals' love begins, at the small murmuring village well, or at the big singing fountains in the towns rich with water. Every evening, the girls go to the well, carrying big clay pitchers on their shoulders. Near the well, the young men sit in a circle, chattering of war and robberies, not taking any notice of the girls. Slowly the girls fill the pitchers. Slowly they walk back. The pitchers are heavy, filled to the brim. The girls might stumble, so they push back their veils and look down chastely. Every evening the girls go to the well. Every evening the young men sit at one end of the square. But when two people's glances have crossed a few times at the well, everyone knows love has begun.
Beautifully written book, I think. But of course, Ali and Nino's love had a different beginning, as he said, on the city street in this much more modern environment. Can you tell us how did they meet? How did they grow up? And how different was it from his background?
Well, I think you need to, in terms of answering the question, have some sense of Azerbaijan, the Caucasus, and Baku, because this particular part of the world was a meeting place, a crossing point of East and West. And so there was, I don't know if the right word is democracy, but there was a sense of relatively easy interplay between different groups. So they meet in a rather normal and natural way. And when you go to, by simply living in the city together and meeting on streets and going to school, and there is a sense, of course, of their difference, but the difference does not seem to be paralyzing. And it only becomes paralyzing when events force them to look at their own backgrounds. As young lovers, they don't.
Why do you think readers are so drawn to the story and drawn to this region?
Love stories have been around for a very, very long time. And if you add to that a love story, which has a topical background, and the Caucasus is in the news every single day. I mean, Chechnya is a stone's throw away, and Armenia is another stone's throw away. And vying for oil and pipelines in Iran and the Caspian Sea is all that tumultuous region. I think you've got the beginning of a lot of people reading a book and liking a book.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about this great mystery surrounding the author of Ali and Nino. Do you feel you've solved this mystery yet?
Well, the reason it took us 3 years or so to publish the book is because I started getting letters after we announced that we were going to publish the book saying Kurban Said, the name on the book when the book was first published in America in 1970, wasn't really Kurban Said. He really was a woman. And other people said he was someone named Esad Bey, and someone said it was Lev Nussenbaum, a man of a German-Jewish background, living in Azerbaijan, who had to flee at the precise time of the breakup of Imperial Russia and fled to Berlin. He converted from Judaism to Islam, took the name Esad Bey, and went on to write 9 or 10 books, some of them published in the United States, traveled to the United States, did author tours, went to Hollywood, a rather remarkable background. And it's impossible, I think, on radio to tell the whole story. But the New Yorker revealed all of this in October, November, and I think it was the trigger behind the renewed interest in this love story, because the character who wrote this book was one of the most fabulous figures I think I've ever heard about, and certainly worthy of a book.
Of course, there are so many other great novels set in the Caucasus. You have Lermontov and Tolstoy, and both were influences, I assume, in this book, Ali and Nino. Would you recommend any of those for summer reading, or should everybody stick with the lighter Ali and Nino this summer?
I'm a publisher. They should absolutely stick with Ali and Nino.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayer.
Bye-bye.
That's Peter Mayer of Overlook Press.